good morning, everybody. So first of all, thank you to Peter, Vicenz, Kathy, all the organizers. It's a real pleasure to be back. I was really happy that I was invited back. I guess I did an all right job last year. And thank you all. I recognize a lot of faces here from last year. So it's really a huge, huge pleasure and honor. Got to bring my wife out here. She's never been to Spain, so it's actually such a beautiful area. I'm Ilan Lipton. So what has been happening in 2015 and 2016? First of all, what was brand new last year was VS Code. It was released, I think, just maybe a couple weeks before DNN Connect last year. VS Code is a free cross-platform version of Visual Studio, Mac, Linux, Windows. It supports C#, PHP, JavaScript, Node, you name it, it's in there. And it's been open sourced since then. So if you want to take a look at the source code, so all the things that Peter mentioned, you want to tinker with things, you want to see how it works. And of course, even better than hardware, if you tinker, it's more difficult to share that with the community. With open source, it's of course quite easy. You can log an issue, you can send a pull request, you can share it very easily with your colleagues. So that's really, really exciting what's happening. .NET Core, so it wasn't brand new last year, but the name is new. So what's happened there is just a couple weeks ago, or a few weeks ago, .NET Core command line interface, that's .NET.exe. This is the cross-platform version of .NET being built at Microsoft. That was released. NuGet 3.5 beta came out. Not only does it have new technologies in there for things like cross-platform, one of the most exciting things that happened with NuGet, or exciting to me at least, was more than 1 billion, it's like nine zeros, it's the three comma club, if folks are familiar with that, 1 billion package downloads. Okay, and that's folks here in this room. Every time you use ASP.NET, every time you create a project, every time there's any component there, if you're using ASP.NET MVC, that's a NuGet package. It's several NuGet packages, in fact. C# 7, a lot of exciting language features are being innovated on that platform. Again, very important to the people in this room. The more productivity you can have from the programming language you're using, the more quickly you can get your solutions out to your customers. Really, really important. And of course, Xamarin. So I think some pronounce Xamarin or Xamarin. I'll call it Xamarin. Microsoft acquired this company, you know, very recently. And this is really exciting because now Microsoft has this very direct access to people building phone applications, which of course is kind of a big deal these days. And it's not just building any old phone applications, it's using C# and .NET. And these are the skills that the people in this room have. And so giving that very direct access, it's not saying learn this completely different thing, it's use this knowledge that you have. On the Azure front, there's also a lot of really exciting things happening. Azure, of course, you know, Microsoft's cloud solution, it's all about the data centers and the services offered at those data centers. So today, there are data centers in 24 different regions across the world. Now, two of those are in Europe, which of course is very relevant to folks in this room. So there's Ireland and Netherlands have data centers, but there are more coming online. There are 8 more data centers that are planned, and half of those are in Europe. So there are 2 in Germany and 2 being planned in the UK. Now, why is this important? It's not about Microsoft just buying millions of servers and sticking them in giant rooms. I did some math. It's not very complicated math. Every 1,000 kilometers of distance from where your customer is to where the data center is that you're using, wherever your site or service is running, that's almost 3.5 milliseconds of latency. That doesn't sound like a whole lot, but that's 3.5 milliseconds either way. So you're talking minimum of 7 milliseconds of time, assuming that everything travels at the speed of light, which is pretty fast, assuming that your customer is in a straight line, and assuming that your application has a 0 millisecond response time and everything is absolutely quick. None of these things are true. There's a lot of overhead in each and every one of these hops. So having these data centers located as close to your customers, and the majority of folks here are based in Europe with businesses in Europe, this is a really, really big deal. Add on top of that, that Microsoft is working with European governments in terms of things like data sovereignty and things like that, which is, of course, a really important deal in terms of protecting your data, your customers' data, and having that sense of security with everything that you have. Some new updates to Azure services. I'm not going to go into these too much because there are actually some sessions on these that I'll mention being done by some of the presenters in this room. Application Insights. Are folks here using Application Insights today? Okay, just a few folks. So I hope after the conference is over, more people will know about it. There's a session, I think it's later today or tomorrow. I'll mention it in more detail. Application Insights, it's diagnostics and monitoring for your application. If you don't know what your application's doing, if you don't know who's using your application, if you don't know what errors there are, how do you know how successful your application is? Application Insights can deliver that by plugging into Azure. It doesn't matter what kind of application you're building, web, mobile, .NET, iOS, Java, Node, PHP, anything out there, you can hook it up with Application Insights and see exactly what's going on in your application. Some brand new things. So that's been true of Application Insights for some time. A couple of new things. One is that it's better integrated in Visual Studio. So as events happen in your application, maybe a crash happened in your application. I know crashes happen sometimes. If you see that in Visual Studio, you can double-click on that and jump straight into your code to see where that exception happened in your code. So this is about bringing you much closer to being able to respond to any issues or events that happen with your application. There's also now webhooks. So, okay, something bad happened, but how do I know about it? Well, there are webhooks available in Application Insights that can hook up to your own monitoring system and maybe send you a text message to your mobile phone or alert your support engineer, send an email, and so forth. So this is, again, about having this immediate level of response from your application, sending events to Application Insights, and then going to your business and telling you what's going on. Redis Cache, anybody here using Azure Redis Cache? Also, just a few folks. Okay, we got more people here on Azure. So one of the new things there is there's a new premium tier. So for higher end installations, if you need maybe tens or hundreds of gigs of storage of cache, which in this day and age, if you want a fast application, caching is what you have to do. We have a new premium tier, which allows more requests per second, has a rock solid SLA, has data persistence, which means that if your Azure cache instance has to restart for whatever reason, it's being serviced or there was some issue, by having data persistence, it'll start up basically immediately. You don't have to rehydrate the cache. Normally with Redis, all the cache is just stored in memory, which was of course very fast, but if it has to restart, well, the memory goes away and it has to be regenerated. So this is another really exciting feature. Now, back to .NET, and I hope there's enough contrast on here. A lot of really big things happening this year. So a lot of this has already started, and some of this is kind of a work in progress. So here at the bottom, I got my laser pointer. We have this kind of shared.
The runtime components, that's the jitter, the virtual memory, garbage collector, things like that. On the libraries, these are the things that you program against. These are your collections and your system I/O, networking, security, kind of these basic components, mostly available as NuGet packages. And then you have the compiler. So you have the programming language, your C# and VB and F#. And these are, of course, shared across no matter what kind of .NET development that you're doing. Now, up above, we have .NET Framework 4.6. This is the thing that everybody here is using. If you're using DNN, this is the .NET that you're using. Now, this is the Windows-only version. And on top of that, we have the various frameworks. So we have your WPF, your Windows Forms, of course, ASP.NET that everybody here is using. And you can also run ASP.NET Core on .NET Framework. And then .NET Core, of course, I think folks here know about it. If you were here last year, of course, I talked about this quite a bit. This is cross-platform, right? So whatever platform you're trying to target, we got it. And then .NET Native for universal Windows applications. This will take your C# code, compile it down to the native x86 or x64 code. And on top of this, we have ASP.NET Core and universal Windows apps. So this is kind of the big foundation, kind of structure of .NET. But there's more to it than that. course, with devices, Xamarin, there's some talks on Xamarin also at DNN.
You know how to build desktop applications, of course. You know how to build ASP.NET apps, of course. But with Xamarin, you can use your exact same code, right? The exact same C#, the same DLLs, everything, and actually share those between, let's say you have your business logic, you can share that between all the different .NET implementations. Now, add to that that you're not locked in with Xamarin and restricted to just what Xamarin offers, because with Xamarin, you still get 100% control over all the native APIs. This is really huge. If you say once you use Xamarin, you're not restricted to just what the different devices have in common. That would be perhaps not a very compelling story. But instead, we actually have something really interesting here. So where's .NET going? So this is kind of a little bit later in this year and a little bit beyond that. So we have the same foundation here, right? So we have the compilers, the languages, your C# and CLR, some of the basic libraries. And where we're going with this, and this is just starting to happen, is this standard library. So I mentioned this already before. This is really, really huge, and I want folks to really internalize this as I talk about it. On top, let me jump to the top here, we have the various frameworks, right? So we have, on .NET Framework, you have your WinForms, WPF, ASP.NET. .NET Core, UWP, and ASP.NET Core. These are the frameworks you use. If you look today at how some of the innovation happens, let's say the folks working at Microsoft on WPF need some new security API, some new crypto routine. There's a new innovation for elliptic curve cryptography, stuff that I don't know much about. That would come in to .NET Framework. So the smart folks working on .NET Framework say, okay, great, we'll implement this new algorithm, we'll get it reviewed, tested, published out there to the world. That's great, but what about the folks using .NET Core? Okay, well, we have to copy the code over to the .NET Core code base. And what about the folks using Xamarin? Well, okay, now we have to, you know, email Miguel and say, hey, Miguel, we have this new algorithm. And he'll say, it's great, I'm really fascinated, it's a great algorithm. Give me a little while and I'll implement this as well. That's really not a great place to be, especially considering there's so much open source going on here. Why can't we share more even within Microsoft? Well, the answer is we can. What we're doing is we're creating this thing called the .NET Standard Library. We're taking all these common packages, and you've already seen this with Core CLR and .NET Core, everything's a NuGet package, all these libraries. So what we want to do is focus the innovation, so we have this innovation here. This is where we want the innovation in .NET to happen. When we say .NET, we don't want you to think .NET Framework or .NET Core or Xamarin specifically. We want you to think of all of .NET. As long as you're using C# and .NET, and Microsoft innovates here, along with the community, because this is open source, everybody using .NET gets to benefit from this. And this is why it's important to everybody here. Even if you're not using .NET Core, all the innovations that are happening apply to everybody. And then we have, on the tooling side, we have the Visual Studio and Visual Studio Code. If you're on Windows, Visual Studio Code works great on Windows as well, works on all the various platforms. And it's getting a lot of new features. C# debugging is being added. Even if you're using some non-Microsoft systems, like PHP, I just checked out there's a community project for adding PHP debugging to Visual Studio Code. I mean, who'd have thought that would be something that I'd be talking about to this group of people? Now, even though .NET innovation is in that box, there's still innovation that is specific to these frameworks. So it's not that we're only innovating on this kind of bottom level and saying, you know, WPF, you know, that's what you got. We're innovating at all the levels, but we want the application model innovation to be separate from the general .NET innovation. So if ASP.NET needs a new feature, that's great. That happens up here. But if there's a new collection or something like that, a new collection type, that will get added to .NET Standard Library, and it's just available to everybody. So again, Peter talked a lot about community, GitHub, open source, and Microsoft. If you've been following for the last, you know, several years, this has become a really, really huge thing at Microsoft. And myself, coming from the ASP.NET team, we've often been at the forefront of doing some of this open source innovation. And what do we have? First of all, we have partnerships with some of the biggest names in the industry, Red Hat, JetBrains, Unity, Docker. A lot of this is in the form of the .NET Foundation Technical Steering Group. So this is driving the direction of .NET. And some of this is also collaboration with Azure. Red Hat is a partner with Microsoft in terms of promoting their systems and supporting them on Azure. Docker has great support, of course, in Azure for using container systems. That's really huge. In terms of what Microsoft is contributing to the world, we have hundreds of repositories on GitHub. These are all open source projects from Microsoft. In terms of what the community has done with that, there's over 20,000 forks of those repositories. That's a huge, huge, huge number. 4,000, more than 4,000. Some of these numbers were a little bit older from a couple months ago. More than 4,000 contributors. There's not 4,000 people at Microsoft working on these things. It's not like we're all the contributors. This is folks in the community. It could be some folks. Has anybody here sent any pull requests, any Microsoft projects? Not, oh, one person. Okay, we need more of you. We need more of you. And now these contributions come in all shapes and sizes. I mean, some of them, I fixed a typo and error message. Now, I don't want to dismiss that at all. That's huge, right? We want every bit of the product to be as high quality as possible. And if it's a typo and error message, that can make a big deal to somebody trying to understand what's going on. And some of those are really huge, significant changes. There's a developer from the UK named Ben Adams. Anybody who's been following ASP.NET Core has probably heard that name before. He's been working, he's not a Microsoft guy, he's a game developer in the UK. He's been working with my team on ASP.NET Core to help us achieve this huge number of 1.15 million requests per second. So that's how much data ASP.NET Core can pump out on a system. That's huge, right? And a lot of this is huge contribution. I'm talking thousands of lines of code being contributed by the community. We didn't pay him. The closest we did is we bought a cake, but he was in the UK, so we ate the cake and we sent him a picture on Twitter. it was really good cake, but he appreciated it and we appreciate the work because ultimately it helps his business, right? He has a game, it's a massively multiplayer online game, and he needs to be able to run hundreds of thousands of requests per second. So it's in his own interest as well as just helping the community, being a good citizen. He helps his own company. He believes in C# and .NET and Azure and a lot of Microsoft offerings, and so he directly contributed to helping his own business be successful. So that's looking a little bit back, some of the things that are coming up, first of all, there's more previews coming out of .NET Core command line interface. So preview 2 is coming out later this month, should be. So we're in June, so that should happen later this month. .NET Core RTM, ASP.NET Core RTM, Entity Framework Core RTM, that should all be later this month. And let's see, we're in Europe, so you have to subtract 9 hours for Redmond time, so if we're off by 9 hours. MS Build, we're unifying all the build systems on MS Build. This is a really huge thing. MS Build, cross-platform, works everywhere, integrates with any of your existing build systems that you already might have. So again, this is kind of leveraging the knowledge and skills that you already have. We're still, even though there's been a lot of focus on .NET Core, we're still going to do updates to .NET, 4.x, ASP.NET 4.x, MVC, Web API, Entity Framework. We're still working on updates to those, both bug fixes and new features. And then .NET Core itself, we want to continue a very rapid pace of innovation. So of course, there'll be major updates and minor updates and patches just to fix, some of the hot bugs that are, kind of coming out that are being discovered. And what I want to close with I want to mention a few sessions that are connected to this. So later today, I have a session, Microsoft plus everyone, best friends forever? What's that about? So you can come see me at 3:30 in the Carboners room. Some other sessions that touch on some of the things that I talked about today. There's a Xamarin talk this afternoon, so definitely be sure to check that out. None of these conflict with my talk, so you can come to my talk and all these other talks. And several great sessions tomorrow. So Application Insights, I mentioned. If you want to learn about this, I highly recommend it. Come see how Application Insights can make your application better. You can learn more. It's really Application Insights. It's really finding out what is your application about. ASP.NET Core, there's a talk tomorrow. And then also Azure Websites. James mentions that he wants to kind of really talk to folks about their experiences using Azure Websites. So that, I think, should be very interesting as well. And I really want to have a dialogue about .NET. So I'll be here the whole time. Come talk to me about .NET, about anything to do with Microsoft, about the future, the direction, what is it that you need out of .NET and from Microsoft. That's why I'm here. I'm not just here to tell you about this stuff. I really want to talk to you about these things. And then a few pointers just to learn more. There's a conference next weekend called .NET Conf. This is a free online event. You can go to .NETconf.net. Everything's recorded, of course, because it's all online, so you can check that out at any time. We have a new .NET homepage. It's .NET. Don't try to say that too quickly. I tried going to www.net, and that unfortunately doesn't work. So you have to go to .NET. So keep that in mind. D-O-T period N-E-T. Clarify that. We have our documentation, which actually is itself open source. So docs.asp.net is all open source documentation. It's also gotten some great contributions from the community in some areas that we haven't had a chance to get to documenting. And so the community has jumped in there and really helped out quite a bit with that. All the latest stuff is on GitHub, github.com/asp.net/home. That's where you can learn about how to get the latest bits for asp.net. And then just a couple pointers. The Build conference was in San Francisco a couple months ago, I think it was. And so there's some really great sessions there. They're still, you know, very relevant, very up to date. There's a lot more content on there. So these are just a couple sessions that some of my colleagues have done on ASP.NET Core. But there's obviously dozens or hundreds of great sessions there for folks to check out. And with that, that's really all I have. I really hope folks learn more about .NET Core, .NET Standard Library, which, as I mentioned, I'll talk about that a lot more in my session this afternoon at 3:30. So if you want to learn more about that and why that's relevant to you, and it is relevant to you, I assure you, I'll tell you a lot more about that and actually show some demonstrations of how you can use this today already in your applications. And with that, thank you very much.